agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. CME Group Chief Executive Hupinder Gill on Friday of last week denied that the exchange operator changed its settlement rules to give electronic grain traders an advantage over veterans on the Chicago trading floor who have sued the company, saying its new rules are killing their business. Gill testified as a trial opened in a lawsuit filed by traders who work in the open outcry pits on the Chicago Board of Trade's 140-year-old agricultural trading floor. They sued CME in June of 2012 to halt new end-of-day settlement rules that factored in transactions executed electronically, where most of the volume takes place. Prior to the change, CME had a century-old tradition of settling futures prices for crops like corn and soybeans based on transactions executed in the pits. The lawsuit represents the last stand for traders on the floor who traditionally did much of their business at the close of trading and say the new procedures are making the pits irrelevant. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, USDA reported that 86% of the nation's soybeans and 73% of the nation's corn crop are now in the bin. That as of Sunday, November 3rd, that compares to the five-year average of 85% for beans and 71% for corn. Winter wheat planting reached 91% complete compared to 86% last week and a 90% five-year average. Winter wheat emerged hit 78% compared to 65% last week and a 75% five-year average. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 140,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to South Korea during the 13-14 marketing year, which began on September 1st. Also headed out the door is 128,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations, also during the 13-14 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,506, is down 65 points. The NASDAQ, 33.68, down 6.75. And the S&P 500 is 17.56, down 6.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Frequent precipitation will continue to come and go across a large part of the Midwest as we move forward through the next full week and maybe 10 days. Our first disturbance in this particular series is already in the western Corn Belt today, and we'll likely see rain and snow occur across many areas on the west side of the Mississippi River, from portions of Kansas and Nebraska into Wisconsin and a small part of Minnesota. Now, some of the precipitation will occur as snow. It's most likely to occur from portions of Nebraska and South Dakota into Minnesota and Wisconsin. Most of the snow is lighter today than advertised yesterday. We're looking at a band of 1 to 3 inches, and maybe a couple of counties that could get upwards to 4 or 5 inches. But all the other precipitation that occurs in the western Corn Belt today and tonight will likely be rain, some strong thunderstorms possible in a portion of Missouri. As we move through the night tonight and into the morning tomorrow, we'll see the thunderstorms marching from portions of Missouri into Illinois, and the entire precipitation region will go ahead and shift through the eastern Corn Belt after that. Most everybody in the east will likely see precipitation during the day tomorrow, with precipitation ending tomorrow night into Thursday morning from west to east from Illinois over to Ohio and Kentucky. The moisture totals from this particular event are going to vary from a quarter to three-quarters of an inch most often, but there will be some greater amounts of precipitation in some locations. I wouldn't be surprised to see some 1 to 2 inch totals in a few areas. Some areas in Missouri and Illinois will be most favored for some of the greater amounts of moisture. And there may also be a couple of other pockets in the northwestern Corn Belt associated with the heavier snowfall that might see some moderate amounts of moisture as well. As we go on out later this week, we'll see drier air move into the region, but it will be short-lived. Another disturbance is going to move across the upper parts of the Midwest as we move from Friday into Saturday. This will be another snow and rainy event. We'll likely see most of the snow near the Canada border. And most of the precipitation on Friday into Saturday morning will be concentrated on the Dakotas into Minnesota and Wisconsin. However, a cool front will trail to the southwest, and as the low-pressure system that will be moving through the northern parts of the Great Lakes region on Saturday, it will trail back into parts of the Corn Belt, and we'll see additional showers occurring from parts of Missouri and Illinois into Michigan. The precipitation that occurs at that point in time is going to be much lighter than that which occurs here today and tomorrow, but it will still be disruptive to the harvest activity. Most of the Midwest will once again see additional precipitation occurring as we go from Tuesday of next week through Thursday and maybe into Friday. Some of the computer forecast models today suggested a lot of precipitation will occur during that period of time. I think that the event is being a little bit overplayed at the moment, but we will still see additional moisture in many areas delaying the field progress once again. Our temperatures over these next few days are going to turn cooler and then warmer and then cooler again. We'll expect to see the majority of the temperatures here this afternoon in the eastern Midwest still relatively warm for this time of the year, getting upwards into some 50 and 60 degree readings. But we'll see some cooler air in the western Corn Belt advancing to the east as we move through the rest of this week, and the afternoon temperatures will come back down to a seasonable range. As already on Wednesday in the western Corn Belt, a lot of 40s and 50s will occur, some 30s in the northwest where we expect some of that snow here later tonight. We'll expect the cooler air to work its way into the eastern Midwest as we move into Thursday with a lot of 40s and 50s likely then. And then as we move into the weekend, we'll warm up again just a little bit. We do have that new disturbance coming across the region, so don't look for the temperatures to rise above average. And with the storm system next week coming on, we won't be able to warm much either. It looks like our low temperatures at night will be mostly running 20s and 30s in the western Corn Belt. We'll likely see 30s, maybe a few 40s occurring in the east, especially tomorrow morning. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter wheat, the December variety, is 727 and one half, down 1 3/4. March, 730 and a half, down 1 1/4. Soft December wheat is 662, down 3/4. March, 673, down 1 1/4. December corn, 425 3/4, down a half. July, 451, down a half. November soybeans, 1263 1/2, down a half. January, 1254 1/4, down 2 1/4. July, 1227 1/2, down a quarter. December soybean meals, 395.80, down 1.10. December soybean oils, 41.20, down 5 cents. December live cattle, 132.17 1/2, up 7 1/2. November feeder cattle, 164.32 1/2, up 72 1/2. And December lean hogs are 88.50. They are up 17 1/2. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
So Friday is report day, was the crop production. Haven't seen one of those in 2 months. Do you think that the market probably has fairly priced in some surprises for Friday already?
Yeah, you just don't know what they're going to come up with. It's expected they will raise yields above 160 on corn and above 43 on beans, but you don't know how much they'll raise the usage because we have had better usage with the lower prices. And so the carryout on corn is expected to grow quite a bit. On beans, with the better usage, maybe it won't grow as much. A month ago, they were thinking they'd add 100 to the carryout on beans. Now there's people saying as low as 20 to 40. On corn, they're still looking at 200-plus to carry out to be over $2 billion, maybe as high as $2.2 billion, which is a very big number.
So that begs the question, Pete, what are they trading? Are they trading 14.1 for 425?
I think they're trading the 425. We've been there the last couple of days, right near it, and we're there near it now. If we can't hold there, they're looking, the next big one is to clear down to 398. There's some people around 410 to 12, but on beans, You just don't know there either. And there's people talking another 50 to 90 lower on the beans if the report's really negative. There's also people talking we could bounce back up to the 13 number, which we've seen every week for the last, I believe, 6 weeks.
So I would think most people probably don't have that many beans on price. Wouldn't that be right? Has most people
There's
done
more
something?
Being held than you think.
Ah.
Yeah.
So what should producers do with these potentials for 60 to 70 cents lower?
I would be selling the cash, and then if you want to stay in buying calls after the report, or if I'm keeping the beans, I'd be buying puts.
Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
You too. That's Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. December corn is 425 and 3/4, down a half. July is 450 and 3/4, down 3/4. November soybeans is 1263 and a half, down a half. January is 1254 and a half, down 2. July is 1227, down 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.